Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Well, Skip's Clippers couldn't keep their Game 7 momentum rolling yesterday as they lost their second-round opener to the Jazz 112-109. Donovan Mitchell led all scorers with 45 points, which was two more than the 43 points Kawhi Leonard and Paul George combined for. Still, L.A. had a chance to tie the game in the final seconds, but Rudy Gobert blocked Marcus Morris's game-tying corner three attempt, and Utah walked away with that W. We're now joined by Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Chris, should the Clippers be encouraged or discouraged by their game one loss?
Well, they shouldn't be discouraged because we knew that it would be tough for them to go into Utah and beat a Jazz team that had had, what, 5 or 6 days of rest. Mm-hmm. And you were coming off this tough emotional series, seven-game series, that ended just 2 days ago. So you knew it would be a tough chore to go in there and win game one. And Clippers fans can tell themselves, as well as the players, hey, we almost won that game with our two best players struggling. Kawhi Leonard had 23 points, 9 of 19. For him, that's not a great night. And Paul George shot 4 for 17, even though he had 20 points and played well in the fourth quarter with 13 points. But George struggled. So all of that happened, and you still had a chance to win the game at the end. That said, I did see some things that would give me concern if I'm a Clippers fan. Number one, you saw that Mike Conley didn't play either. So you can talk about Paul George and Kawhi struggled, but Mike Conley wasn't playing. Conley's a, you know, all-star level. He's never made an all-star team, but he's right below the all-star level type player. He's very good on both ends of the floor, and he's another guy that can penetrate off the dribble and create for himself and his teammates. So you had one guy to worry about that could do that last night. Jordan Clarkson, yes, off the bench, he's, you know, he's a nice scorer. But for the most part, you had one guy to worry about as far as creating his own stuff, and that was Donovan Mitchell. And we saw he went for 45. Go back to last series. You had one guy to worry about that was creating all the offense, Luka Doncic, and he went off on the Clippers. Now, last night, same thing, one guy. When Conley gets back, whether it's game two or game three, he's going to be another guy you've got to worry about. So that could open things up, not that he needs it, but open things up even more for Donovan Mitchell. And then you've got the shooters to surround him. So that's a cause for concern. And then Paul George, 4 for 17. I mentioned it earlier. He is not hitting shots at all. It was 5 for 15 in game 7 against Dallas, 6 for 15 in game 6. Over the last three games, he shot 32%. From the floor. I know he's had his moments. He's hit a couple of big shots. I mentioned the 13 points last night in the fourth quarter. But I'm not sure you can beat Utah with Paul George shooting like this consistently. They're going to need him to step up and be a legitimate wingman for Kawhi. I'm not worried about Kawhi. Kawhi will bounce back starting in game two. But Paul George has got to give them a little more consistency on the offensive end for them to prevail. I got them in 7, so I expect a long, tough series, but they're going to need a consistent Paul George to play well for them.
I don't know why the Clippers would be encouraged, considering that had they been blown out, they could have used the excuse, we had tired legs, we played game 7. But Chris, they were up 13. Utah missed 20 straight shots. You could have buried them. That was your opportunity. You could have buried them. Spider Mitchell had 13 points at the half. Nobody on Utah was playing particularly well in the first half. That was your opportunity to send the death knell blow. And they didn't. Mitchell gets it going. The difference between Dallas and Utah, obviously the record, you say, if you want to say Donovan and Luka are pushed. But the difference is the surrounding players. Those guys will make shots early, and they will make tough shots late. Bogdan didn't. Joe Ingles with 3 of 14. So what happens when he heats up? Let me get my shark too much. Mm-hmm. Joe Ingles was 3 of 12. Excuse me, 1 of 8. Bogdanovich was 6 of 14. You know they gonna shoot better than that next go around. Now, Chris, you keep telling me they're elite wing defenders. Now, Luka had 3 40-point games and a 39-point game. Luka also had a 42-point game in March. Zach LaVine dropped 45 on him. We see Donovan Mitchell had 46. What's going on with that defense? Paul George, you mentioned, he was 7 of 15 in game 5, 6 of 15, 5 of 15, 3 of, 4 of 14. Come on. And you keep saying, oh, he going to turn it around. Are we sure about that? Are we sure? He keep passing up big shots. Chris, you ain't mentioned it, but you saw two guys pass up a shot and say, Marcus Morris, you take it. We don't want it. Because I know if somebody else had done that, he'd be up here pounding the table. If you the GOAT, you got to take that shot.
So, wait, you're saying Kawhi Leonard is better than LeBron James?
I can't tell. I can't tell.
Interesting.
Chris, you've been with Skip a lot longer than I have. When have he ever allowed LeBron to use the excuse of being tired? Oh, he played 7 games.
Not a once.
Not one time. You remember LeBron played 7 games against Boston his last year in Cleveland?
Yeah.
And then dropped 51 and opened the game against Golden State. Yeah. And you talked about, well, LeBron quit. He's separated from his team. But I'm going to let you have your little moment. Mm. But you're going home in 5. And we got 5 on it.
Yes,
5 for 5.
Kawhi Leonard invented load management with some help from Greg Popovich. So I first guessed this for the record. And this man also picked Utah to win this game last night.
I did,
night.
Of course.
And I think you thought Utah would win handily. And they should have won handily. Because Kawhi Leonard was literally running on empty last night, or trotting on empty, or crawling on empty, because I think that whole team was psychologically gassed from what I believe was the greatest comeback in NBA playoff history against the Dallas Mavericks. It took every ounce of heart and soul for them to climb out of the holes they kept digging for themselves at Staples, where they lost games 1, 2, and 5.
Yep.
It's impossible what they did against Luka and company, and it took Kawhi being Jordan-esque in game 6 and 7, and he was shot. He was spent more psychologically than physically. And I think they came into last night thinking, well, we deserve one game, quote unquote, off. And they were shocked to find in the first half that Utah missed 20 straight shots.
20 straight.
20 straight shots. So I told Shannon earlier today, maybe a more veteran team, maybe a team that had won a couple of championships together, would have gone in at halftime and said, hey, wake up. They don't want this. They're trying to give it to us. We have a chance to steal game one. Let's take game two off mentally and physically, but let's not take the second half off. And instead, they came out and said, okay, we gave you one good half. That's all we have left. And they let Donovan Mitchell go off on them for 16 in the third and 16 in the fourth.
They let him. He did.
Okay. Well, again, watch what happens in game two, because he's going to see a whole different scheme coming at him. He's going to be seeing double, because there are going to be two Clippers on him. And they'll make Joe Ingles beat him, because I don't think he can beat them.
I do.
Okay, well, we'll see about that. You've got Utah in 5 games.
Yeah.
So you're about to get in some big trouble, because I was mightily encouraged by what I saw last night from a Clippers team that was up 13 at half, but hung on when I thought it was going to get blown out the door at Utah, and they actually had a last shot to tie it. Well, what's not to love about that?
That was your best chance to steal game one. Everybody always try. What did Atlanta do? What do you normally try to do, Chris? You normally try to steal the first game on the road. You get that first one out of the way.
Or the second one.
But I love how you tried to do that. You keep saying, well, they don't have championship experience. Mm-hmm. You got Kawhi that's won a championship.
That's
you
it.
You got Rondo that's won a championship.
Yep.
You got T. Lou on the bench that's won a championship.
They won them together?
Hold on.
No.
But that's what you, what Tom Brady. Tom Brady was the only, Tom Brady was the only one, and Gronk, the only one had championship experience. Mm-hmm. And you said that bled into the locker room. Okay, let that bleed into the locker room.
I'm talking about the GOAT of your sport, Tom Brady. They don't have a GOAT. Kawhi's not the GOAT. I never said Kawhi was the GOAT.
No, you just said Kawhi is on par. You just said yesterday, Kawhi is on par with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is the best player on the planet.
Again, Chris said that yesterday, that they're vying for best player on the planet.
Stop it.
Well, that's what Chris said. Am I right, Chris?
Don't do that, Chris.
They it's open. Joel Embiid is up in there. Yeah. It's open.
What's open?
Let's see what happens to these playoffs. Best player on the planet right now. Mm-mm. Best player on the planet is
KD.
Open.
KD getting
it's
that.
It's open right now.
Right. The best player, because we're doing this in the playoffs, because the other guy that's out of the playoffs, they can't. They shouldn't get any mention.
All right. Let's go back to Kawhi. I'm going to be objective, and I'm going to be very critical of my man Kawhi Leonard, because he took a step back in best player on the planet competition right now.
We ain't
because
in the room anymore.
At the end of the game, if we could see the final sequence, your man Donovan Mitchell, he has a chance to nail the dagger. He takes a two-point shot, and he was up, and he was way short on this one because Rondo got the rebound, and I'm thinking, I got playoff Rondo. I got a new quarterback. Make a play. Get somebody an open three, and he does a dribble handoff to Kawhi, who dribble handoffs to Paul George, back to Kawhi, and he doesn't want that over Joe Ingles. He doesn't want that over Joe Ingles, and it winds up in the hands of Marcus Morris, who wound up 1 of 9 from three for the game. It's almost like the Clippers go as Marcus goes because he made 7 of 9 in game 7, and he's 1 of 9 from three last night, including that disaster at the end of the game. Kawhi has to take the shot. But I've also said Kawhi's not a great three-point shooter, and this is nothing but a three-point because you're down three, you got to take one. Kawhi doesn't trust himself from three because, as you pointed out earlier, he's a line drive shooter. He doesn't have that range. You put him at 16 or 18 feet, yeah, he's deadly. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't love the three because he doesn't elevate and shoot rainbows. He shoots line drives. Mm-hmm. So I actually wanted Paul George to take the last shot because he suddenly in the fourth quarter had a hot hand. He went from pandemic P to playoff P, and he had
shots.
It. What are you talking about?
He made 2 shots in the fourth quarter.
Okay, down the stretch, he took the game over. He scored 7 of the last 9 and assisted to Kawhi on the other one. So the last 9 points were all Paul George. He was playoff P. I want it because he's got range. He has more range than Kawhi. He does shoot rainbow jumpers, and he could have maybe risen right up. He would have had the most open shot on the second dribble handoff.
Well, my bad. He made 3 shots in the fourth quarter. He was 3 of 7, 2 of 5 from three.
He was 13.
He was 5 of 6 from the free throw line.
Yep. Okay. So I loved it. I say you take
it. He needs to be better overall.
Exactly. Chris, correct your look. Mike Conley did get named to the All-Star team this year. So he is a one-time All-Star, although he probably feels like he should have made a couple of All-Star games. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't there. He's also a guy that can take and make big shots, especially the three-point shot. As Chris mentioned, he can get into the lane. He can finish with either hand.
Okay. What have I said about the Clippers from the start? They're no good unless they're bad. That they need to be up against it. They need to dig a hole that they can dig out of. That's who they are.
I want to know mentality. Where the king of L.A. was last night.
Okay, I know where he's going to be in game 2 tomorrow night. You think he'll be better tomorrow night? I do.
I'm with you, Skip, and I picked the Clippers in 7. But I can't. They do seem to make things hard on themselves. But they don't have this history of overcoming. They didn't overcome last year against Denver. I know it's a little bit of a different team. Yeah, they overcame against Dallas, but we're kind of treating them like they've really done something.
And they have not.
Okay. They're just in the second round.
They have not.
They're just in the second round.
I understand that.
And can I correct this quickly,
sure.
Skip? You can't put that Dallas win over 2016 LeBron coming back from 3-1
in the
finals. I
do. Much tougher.
Come on.
Because they had cratered against Denver. The world was against them.
First round.
They had demons that the Cavaliers did not have.
It was the first round against a 22-year-old.
I
don't care. You
don't care. The hole was deeper. No
mercy. When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place. Whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands. and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Yesterday, a map went viral that used Twitter data from the past month to show each state's most hated NBA player. And not surprisingly, LeBron was the most disliked baller in 24 states, as well as the most hated overall. Kyrie Irving came in second with 18 states disapproving of the Nets point guard, followed by his Brooklyn teammates, James Harden and Kevin Durant with 3 states each. So Chris Broussard is still with us. And before we jump into this, you know, my parents never let me say I hated anyone growing up. I could only say I strongly disliked them. So, Chris, I don't know if I like this. How do you explain it?
I think it's simple. LeBron James stands for something. And you guys know on this show, when you stand boldly and unashamedly for something, you're going to have people that love you and you're going to have people that hate you. And LeBron stands up. The first thing he stands up for is against racial and social injustice. You can argue that LeBron is the player that started this whole movement across these various sports leagues of players standing up against injustice. It was back in, 2012, 2013, when he and the Miami Heat did the hoodie photo Trayvon Martin and his death. And so that was years before Kaepernick, you know, Colin Kaepernick started kneeling during the national anthem. So that's something that a lot of people don't like, you know, and LeBron's obviously been outspoken against racial and social injustice. He did the More Than a Vote campaign, which had an impact on the most polarizing election maybe in our lifetimes. And so for all of those reasons, there are a lot of people that dislike LeBron James. If you look at, I looked at the map with the story of, you know, where the people hated LeBron the most, and they were pretty much all the red states. You know, it was really, there was those states. It was the middle of the country, the upper, you know, the northern Midwest. Montana, Nebraska, the Dakotas, you know, places like that where they aren't feeling LeBron James. So that's number one. Number two, he stands for player empowerment. When LeBron had the audacity to say, I, as a player, can put together a team better than my front office, they can't get me nobody, I'm going to go ahead and build a championship team myself. Bird went to a championship team. Magic went to a championship team. I'm going to have to build one myself, and he did it when most of the country was hating on him because of it. That was polarizing. A lot of people don't like that. He started this trend, which is now commonplace, of players putting their teams together. I honestly do not believe the thought of even crosses Kevin Durant's mind to go to Golden State if LeBron had not gone to Miami. I don't think Anthony Davis, a year and a half before his contract ends, thinks about going to the Lakers, except for LeBron had done this. I don't think the big three in Brooklyn would be together. Like, Harden wouldn't have done what he did had not LeBron started it. So LeBron showed the players the power that they actually have. And it's even trickling into the other leagues, as we see, you know, with the NFL, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, things like that. So that's the second thing. Thirdly, I think the Michael Jordan GOAT comparisons is another reason people hate on LeBron. Because you guys notice, when you're out, it amazes me now. Everybody's got a take. right? When you see fans now, they got a take. They come in at you hard with a take, you know, and I credit you, Skip, and Stephen A. for starting this, but now fans don't want to just chat. They got a take for you. And so it's like the feeling is if you think Michael Jordan's the GOAT, then you're automatically a LeBron hater. And if you think LeBron's the GOAT, then you're automatically a Jordan hater, which obviously isn't true, but that's how people look at it. So I think a lot of people that are in Jordan's corner hate on LeBron just because they feel like, well, that's how it has to be. And so those are the reasons I think LeBron is the most hated NBA player.
I agree with everything you just said, and I spoke a lot of that with Skip, and I touched on this earlier, because LeBron stands for something. Kyrie's number two. What does Kyrie do? Stand for something. And anytime you stand for something, you're going to alienate a certain base. Why you think Michael Jordan never took a stand? He knew what was going to happen. He heard it, and Skip believed. He's like, I believe he said it in jest. You know, he was just talking amongst the boys. No. Republican by sneakers also. He knows if I take a stand one way or another, the people that I'm taking a stand against, they're going to be ticked off at me. They're not going to like what I'm taking a stand against. So just to keep the peace, I'll let you speculate whether I'm against or for this, but I don't say it one way or another, and you'll keep on, you know, spending, buying my product, Skip. I firmly believe that has a lot to do with it. And the fact, like you said, Chris, he stood for something. These social issues, the Trayvon Martin, I Can't Breathe T-shirts, he was taking stands before it was really popular. And he took some blowback for it. But he says, you know what? At some point in time, I don't make enough money to keep my mouth shut when I see things that are going wrong. And even though, yes, I'm in Brentwood, yeah, but I still see people in my community, I still see them suffering for the longest time. They thought that if you give a black athlete or a black, make them prominent, put them in the pearly gates or the ivory towers, they would not even care about what was transpiring. But that time has changed now. You're seeing more and more guys starting to speak out, Chris, and Skip, you see that happening. Even the WNBA, they're like, nah, what's going on here isn't right. So for me, and I also said this was the GOAT conversation, Skip, in this situation, it's kind of like politics now. Ain't no more straddling the fence. Mm. Well, you know, Skip, it used to be, well, I like them both. Ain't no liking them both now, Chris. You either Jordan camp or you LeBron camp. It ain't no in between. Mm-hmm. It used to be, well, you know, I can see, you know, I like a little bit of this from that one. I like a little bit of that. No. Who you with? You the Dems or you the Republicans? It ain't no in between, Skip. So I believe that has a lot to do with it, but I'm not surprised by this. I don't think you're surprised by it either, Chris, but I'm not surprised. When I was I already knew. I said, yeah, I didn't need a poll to tell me because I see, you know, when I interact with people and I read my comments, I see what's being said. I was like, okay, I see where this is heading.
Okay, so if you guys are right that this is by and large race-based, then you got me. I don't see and feel that the way you two do. But I live in a little different world than you two live in, because in the world I have lived in for all the years LeBron has played, the white people I know, the people I'm around fairly consistently, they love them some LeBron. But maybe I don't know the right people. Mm-hmm. Obviously, are there a lot of white people in this country who hate black people? You better believe there are. We're trying to eradicate that. We're trying to at least soften that, and I think we've made some strides there. Mm-hmm. But it's hard for me to characterize this whole poll as just strictly race-based, and both of you went to that as your number one reason, that because LeBron has taken stands for racial justice, mm-hmm. that a lot of white people, that's what you're saying, right? White people are saying no to LeBron. We hate you because you're taking these stands.
Well, I think we laid out three, but yes, I believe that's the number one thing, Skipper. Right. You might not know, you know, a lot of people like you until they find out what you actually stand for. And then they're like, hold on, wait, no, I can't get with that. Mm. Because remember, in the movie, we always go back to Do the Right Thing. Mm. Pino, he loved Michael Jordan. He loved Prince.
Okay.
But everything out of his mouth was the N-word.
Okay, I got it. Yet, to me, in my experience, and I'm going to be completely generalizing here, to me, LeBron is the most beloved black athlete by the majority of the white community ever. Because What's to hate about him? I promise school. The mere fact that he has the courage to take stands, whether the white people believe in the stand or not, it's just admirable how outspoken he's been for the causes he believes in. And Chris is exactly right. He's the trailblazer, man. He broke through. I'm not sure, remember, he was on the free agent part. He was free.
He was free, like, yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay, so, so again, I'm not sure he's the one that encouraged, well, I mean, he absolutely, you know, individually wanted Anthony to come join him.
Right.
But now they've taken it to the level of, I know I got 3 years left on my deal, but I want out.
Right.
So let me go.
Right.
And James forced his way out to Brooklyn, obviously.
Right.
But in the end, I'll just throw out an example, and you can say this is a very small sample size, but I'm a member of a golf club in Brentwood, not far from, I'm not sure LeBron even lives there anymore. Hasn't he moved from there? I'm not even sure.
No, he got another place. You know,
several places, but it's like two blocks up the street from my golf club is where LeBron originally moved to when they first came to L.A. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the members of the club, they all wanted LeBron to come in and ask that, could you maybe, and I actually used Chris a little bit to try to get something to LeBron. If you want to come join the club, well, does LeBron want to be a member of a club I'm at? No, probably not.
LeBron doesn't play golf.
Okay, well, he doesn't, and that would be number one because it's mostly a golf club.
Right.
But the point is, I know a whole bunch of members there, and they love LeBron. Now, they are L.A. Democrats, so maybe that's different
right.
fandom, right?
Yes.
But trust me, I'm like the only one who's even objective about LeBron at the whole club that I'm aware of. So my point is, you guys are seeing it through a different lens than I'm seeing it through on hate. As Jenny said, I hate the word hate. I get to more, a lot of people think LeBron's overrated or he's a front-running showboater or a gloater or a bragger on Instagram or Twitter where they just get sick and tired of him. There's some LeBron fatigue because he played in the 8 straight finals in the East, and he's been in 10 of the last 14 finals, not including this year, of course. And maybe there's some burnout, like people just get sick and tired of LeBron. I do think a lot of people think he's just overrated for many reasons because he's not much of a shooter. I don't think he's a clutch player. You guys do think he is, but we can go on and on about that. I think that all plays into the quote-unquote, I hate LeBron camp.
Chris, go with me here.
No, I agree, Skip. I don't think it's, and I think Shannon and I were saying the same thing. We don't think it's all racial.
No.
Because there are a lot of black people that hate on LeBron
Correct.
As well. You know, we just had
a caller last night.
He's African American on our radio show.
I have
said he's a front runner, you know, and went down the list.
Okay.
African Americans? There's a lot that, you know, whether it's because of the reasons we laid out, they love Jordan. Or that they don't agree with him teaming up with Wade and Bosh, but there are some blacks that don't like him too. The other thing I take issue with, Skip, is I don't believe whites love LeBron more than they love Michael Jordan, or as much as they love Michael Jordan. Like, I think there are black athletes that white America loves more than LeBron, and I think Jordan is front and center. Like, who didn't like Michael Jordan? He had the whole commercials, the whole campaign, Be like Mike.
Okay, but off the court, obviously, LeBron is far more likable than Michael to me, right? And I think a lot of people, smarter
white fans
see that.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't like that he's... But a lot of people don't like the fact that he's taking these stances.
Yeah.
And Jordan, to Shannon's point, Jordan didn't, so there was no reason not to like Michael Jordan because he didn't take these political stands.
If you go back and look at study history, and you look at the athletes, the black athletes that's been disliked, from Jack Johnson to Muhammad Ali to LeBron James now, it's the black athlete that becomes great, becomes outspoken, and then that causes a problem.
I agree. Yeah.
So if you just go back and look at the athletes and you're like, okay, so what's the underlying theme here?
Okay, really interesting discussion.
OJ was loved.
Really interesting.
OJ was loved until, you know.
Yep,
he was. But what did OJ say? OJ said he ain't, OJ wasn't black, though. OJ did everything he could. He said, I'm OJ.
Right.
Y'all black, I'm OJ.
Interesting stuff, guys. Chris, thank you for the time. It's always great to have you with us.
No mercy.